Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Listen to Impact on POV.
Only on Kaya959.
Well, thanks so much for staying with us. So you know that every Monday the president releases a newsletter. And one of the things he highlighted today in his newsletter is making sure that the role of women is prominent in every sector, every discussion, in every document and in every policy that is passed in this country. And, you know, a lot of people said, well, in fact, you know, he's walking the talk in that regard. In his cabinet, he has prioritized women. So we're going to start a conversation today around the role of women, and we'll do that in various sectors. But we'll start with the media industry, particularly the radio industry. And my guest this evening is CEO of MDDA, Shashaku. And MDDA is the Media Development and Diversity Agency. She is on the line with us. Thank you so much for making time for us, Shasha. Good evening and welcome.
For having me, great speaking with you.
Let's maybe outline the role that the Media Development and Diversity Agency has in this country.
Thank you. The Media Development and Diversity Agency, or MDDA, is an implementing agency, you could say, of government. So ours is really ensuring that there's sustainability within the community media by supporting and creating enabling environments. And that we do not just alone as the agency. There's a lot of support that we get from the more established commercial broadcasters, including Kaya FM. And I think what's key and is important is why community media specifically matters and why it, you know, like why it's important to highlight his work. I will give you just two examples of community broadcasters where we've seen women do really well. One is Motse Community Radio. So it connects Mpumalanga as well as Limpopo, if you see that Denelton area along Moloto Road. The station was started by Rural Women's Movement, and the problem they were solving for was to give their children information, access to information, which is a constitutional guarantee. And the way they knew they could do that was by advocating to get this license so that they can have a community media within their own community. And they have built that community radio station. They have young people who are working there. And that organization continues to be involved in ensuring that the sustainability within that with that radio station. So I think for me, when we think about the work of the MDDA, we also have to think about those communities that bring to life those constitutional guarantees. Like Motse Community Radio with the help of the Rural Women's Network. Another one I'll tell you about is publications as well that are led by women. You also have Radio Zibonele in the Western Cape, and I'm not being biased because my journey in broadcasting started there. But you had women there who were healthcare workers. And at the height of the HIV/AIDS pandemic, as well as the TB pandemic, thought it was important to share information with communities. And so they rallied behind this project of starting this community radio station. And it was actually linked to a community clinic. So people could actually go to the radio station to go source information and get help because the station was at a clinic. And and so we see these incredible women who know that access to information is critical, because people who are informed just make better decisions. And I think I couldn't agree more with the president that we have to place at the center of our work, particularly in areas of development, women, because we know that it's almost inherent in their nature to be able to carry out that work. I must say I'm absolutely biased there as a woman myself.
You know, you've given us some fantastic examples. We're going into the elections now, and one of the role that community radio plays is exactly that, information, and you cannot give information enough, particularly with local government, where people sometimes feel frustrated. Nobody's telling their stories about their problems on the ground. And this is partly to your point about, you know, guaranteeing constitutional rights. where people get to engage with, I suppose, the government, their own issues, their own locality, their own municipality, and get to voice their frustrations.
No, absolutely. There's over 200 community radio stations in the country. And I think we often really neglect their role, that they aren't just grassroots media platforms.
Yeah.
They actually that conduit that connects those communities to the rest of the world.
Mm.
Think about a rural community somewhere, either in the Eastern Cape or in KZN, where for them to be able to access information is for them to go to their community station. And I think if we get to a position where we empower these community media broadcasters, including the publications, enough with skills, they would be able to actually carry the country in terms of sharing the relevant information. Community members will also be able to have better accountability tools for their councillors, because they know that we can go at that station and ask the councillor to come in and we ask all of the relevant questions and they're engaging meaningfully. I do think that we do have an episodic approach in how we deal with issues, maybe just not just for community media as well, but just the media generally, that will focus on the local government elections when they come in, because people are going to vote. But after voting, you know, people still have to be held accountable, and we shouldn't wait until things fall apart for accountability to exist. And I think these community media projects could really champion that and become tools to allow for accountability and allow for this continuous sharing of information, where we aren't waiting until things fall apart and people are are protesting because they feel unheard. We should be able to lean on these community radio stations. Now, while there's so many of them, there's also challenges in them being sustainable, in retaining skills and talent. Young people go into community radio stations. As soon as they acquire the skills, they move to commercial broadcast. You know, so we have to ensure that we are constantly providing that support and the training to keep them operating professionally and to enable them to do their work efficiently. And I think the challenge is often, while we see the gaps, is that there's resource constraints to be able to deliver all of that at the level that we would wish to have and achieve.
And I mean, speak a little bit more about those challenges, particularly geared at women who enter this very difficult space. And you know, all spaces, I suppose, are difficult for women. But let's talk a little bit about the challenges that women face in this space.
So I'll say that we presently have a partnership with GIZ, that would be the German corporation, where we are, in fact, presently doing validation workshops in KZN today. And here we are looking at the challenges that women face in online bullying. But this bullying doesn't only happen online. Now, think about all of the issues and challenges that any journalist would face, but think about a journalist that's now based at a local municipality. Sometimes some of them operate from within municipal buildings. They uncover a story, they report on the story, and some of the questions they constantly ask is, how do we protect ourselves from the political interference, from the pressure that we get from the people that we are reporting on? Because they aren't reporting often on people that are too far from them, that could never reach them. They're reporting on issues that are happening within their communities. I facilitated a workshop with Motse Community Radio, I think sometime earlier this year. And in one of the discussions there, the editor was speaking about women and the challenges that the women face, and that there's more women in the newsroom, and it's challenging to send these women out onto the field because sometimes they are attacked by community members. And so you then find that they are unable to go out to stories. But also, he also mentioned that some of the stories they had to cover was a story of a child who was abused, and her mortal remains were found after a week of a search. And because the newsroom had so many women, the women in the newsroom all struggled to go and cover that story. Mm. And I think for me, that was a point of reflection that you are a mother. This could have been your child. Mm. And some women would have themselves faced issues relating to abuse. Mm. And they have to live through these triggers to tell these stories every day. So I think there's quite a number of challenges that women face within those areas, not just in the newsroom. But I do want to say that we also see many women that are thriving, that are doing well, yeah. who I would say are championing development in the space. For example, the station manager of Eldos FM, who continues to ensure that the station is sustainable. The whole project is led by a woman. So I do think that where we are able to demonstrate the work and the performance that women are able to do, we should be able to applaud that. But we must also recognize that there's a need to provide meaningful support to women in the newsrooms, but also in the projects that they lead, to ensure that these are able to succeed.
Hmm. Wow. I mean, I know that your application, I suppose, period, closed very recently. I think maybe it was last week or the week before. Just for those who are listening, who are thinking, you know, my community needs this, how would one go about that, even though I know that the grant application is closed currently?
No, thank you. So, yes, we do have one call every year. So the next one will be coming up next year around the same time in July. But we do have training and skills development that would assist community media practitioners to just refine their art in telling stories really well, but also to unlock opportunities for them to progress to their next sometimes. I think also I was in a meeting today with someone who does these OTT platforms, and he speaks about how community or grassroots content is the future of content, because more and more people, audiences are looking for authentic stories that are relatable, that really show real people. You know, I guess we've gone past the age where everything has to have filters, mm-hmm. and, you know, so there are so many opportunities for young women to get into the space of media and to get into community media. And I think one can go to the MDDA website, mdda.org.za. We also have an email address, info@mdda.org.za.
Yes.
You'll be able to get information.
Yes.
I was like, oh, let me not mess this one up. And then
yes.
you can inquire about training opportunities that exist to allow for you to get into the sector, but also to get your own community media based project to move to the next phase. Our biggest focus presently really is ensuring that the sustainability within the community media space, ensuring that we build based on what we have. At one point in this country, Pimeloko Bolele, there were over 300 community radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing a decline because there's issues around non-compliance sometimes, but also there's other factors that lead to the closures of these community projects. We do want to see more communities involved in supporting those radio stations growing. Even if you are at home, you've got a bit of time and skill to volunteer, find a local community radio station and see if you can help them once a week at least with some of the admin work, sales and marketing work. You know, there's just so much more to do than wanting to be more like you, Pimelo, and being behind the mic.
Yes, absolutely.
There's content, there's technical, there's all of those.
And so are you saying that there is still enough room for people to apply for new licenses?
So ICASA closed a call for people to apply for licenses. I think they would argue that there is space on the spectrum, but we have to balance that with the question of sustainability. The more stations there are, while these aren't completely competing, but they are competing for available resources, including advertising revenue, which is declining as we see some part of advertising move to digital platforms. So competition is very tight within that space. I would say you would have to have a case for why a community media is required within your community. You'd have to have sustainability measures that you've put in place, and also where you would be able to source funding outside of expecting to receive support from an agency of government like the MDDA.
I've got Zali quickly on the line from Kempton Park, who I think has a comment. Zali, good evening and welcome. Okay, so let me hand it.
Question. Mama, does the MDDA know about the BBOA? Because I feel like we are one crew that is fighting the same battle, but separately.
Okay, let me ask Shasha.
Okay.
No, I've not had the BVOA.
Can I tell you what the application means?
Quickly go ahead, Ntate Zali.
Black Billboard Owners Association.
But how does the Billboard Association compete with MDDA?
Because we are all in the media space.
Yes, but there's no conflict.
Sure, there's no conflict.
Yes, in fact, maybe I could just assist. I think, can I ask Veli to please send an email? I think we'd be keen to work with other organizations that are operating in the space where you are supporting local media, whether it's a small advertising agency or you are working with media owners that have billboards, for example. We would like to see how we can collaborate in ensuring that there is a diverse representation of media within the country. So we'll definitely be happy to connect with them.
Zali, stay on the line so that we can give you their details so that you can connect. Specifically, MDDA helps not in the billboard space. So I think there is some room for negotiation, discussions, collaborations and all of that. And again, maybe Shasha, if you can give us those details so those who are listening can also get in touch with you.
Thank you very much. So you can email us on info@mdda.org.za. You can also visit our website, mdda.org.za. I'm also on some social media platforms and I generally respond at Shoe Shoe Ku, S-H-O-E, and the surname is Ku, Q-H-U. And on any of the social media platforms you find me, I will be able to respond.
All right. Shasha, I appreciate your time. Really, thank you so much. She is the CEO of MDDA, Shasha Ku. As she says, she is available on many media, on your social media platforms. Just if you can go and search for her. Surname is Q-H-U. You are likely to get a good response from her. That's it from us for tonight. We are back tomorrow at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.